Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Dennis Shore, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is how Saudi Arabia has a restaurant which has been named Hitler. And it's just symptomatic of the fact that Saudi Arabia is a Nazi country committed to the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people, and all of the leaders of the Jewish people and of Israel are lying to us about it. They're not telling us the truth. It's not being exposed. The second subject we want to discuss is our prediction for 2020. It's very early, and we're going out on a limb. Nobody, you don't see any of the experts or any of the pollsters saying right now whom they think will be the Democrat nominee for president, because there are about 20 candidates running, and anything can happen, and there's a lot of unpredictability. But we're going to go out on a limb. We're going to predict that it's going to be Elizabeth Warren, that Elizabeth Warren will be the Democrat candidate running against President Trump next year in 2020, for President of the United States, of course. Let's start off, though, with Saudi Arabia. You know, I couldn't even find an article in English exposing this on the internet. I wanted to show you this in English, that the Saudis have a restaurant that they've named Hitler. And when Indians did the same thing in Mumbai, it was something that made big news, and there were hundreds of articles all over the world about it when Indians did it in Mumbai, when they named a restaurant Hitler. Appropriately, it should have been publicized. It's a disgrace, and they should be condemned for it. And when restaurants were named Hitler in Kurdistan or in Iraq or other places, it got substantial publicity. But the Saudis have bought up so much of the U.S. media. They have such control over the media. They've invested in so many media companies that people are terrified to tell the truth about Saudi Arabia and about what their real character is. So I'm going to show you an article that appears in the Israeli media in Hebrew. This is in Hebrew. I couldn't find an article in English about this, but this article in Hebrew explains that a restaurant has been named in Saudi Arabia after Hitler. Just so that you'll see that, you know, that we're not making this up. And in addition to that, I'm going to show you another article that appeared in English to show you how when other people do these things, it does get publicity. Here is an article about how in Gaza, the Arab terrorist regime in Gaza, the Arab terrorist Hamas regime that controls Gaza, they named a store Hitler. And that did get a lot of publicity, actually. Well, didn't get enough publicity. It should be publicized all over the place. But at least it got publicity in certain publications. You're able to find articles about it, at least. Let's understand something about Saudi Arabia. Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud government in Israel are lying to the Jewish people about Saudi Arabia. And the U.S. government and Donald Trump are lying about Saudi Arabia. All the leaders of the Western world are lying. They're all saying Saudi Arabia is a moderate country, when in fact, the Saudis are the ones who funded 9/11. The Saudis were the ones who crashed the planes into the Twin Towers in 9/11. And then the Saudi media praised the Saudi terrorists that murdered 3,000 Americans on 9/11. The Saudi media praised them, called them the Magnificent 17, or the Magnificent 19. Some said 19, some said 17. But they praised them. They held telethons for terrorists that murder Americans and that murder Westerners. The Saudis have been among the chief financiers of international terrorism, the chief sponsors of international terrorism all over the world. Thousands of innocent Jews have been murdered by Arab terrorist organizations that were financed by Saudi Arabia. And now Netanyahu is telling us that they're moderates, and that they're supportive of Israel, and they're pro-American. They're pro-American. They wanted to carry out 9/11. That's pro-American. They applauded and called the 9/11 mass murderers heroes. That's pro-American. A poll taken in Saudi Arabia shortly after 9/11 showed 95% of the Saudis agreed with the attack on the Twin Towers. That's pro-American. Poll taken by Gallup, actually. Now, Saudi Arabia and certain Persian Gulf countries and other Arab countries like Egypt and Jordan have temporarily decided to try to use Israel against Iran because they feel threatened by Iran. Iran is a Shiite Muslim terrorist dictatorship. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, all the other Arab countries, they are Sunni Muslim terrorist dictatorships. They're all brutal dictatorships. They all preach hatred against the non-Muslim infidels. They are all violently, viciously anti-Jewish and praise Hitler and praise the Holocaust and praise the destruction of Jews and praise Arab terrorists that murder Jews and call for the annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people and call for another Holocaust against Israel. This is throughout the Arab world, all the media in the Arab world. This is what they do on a daily basis. There is no difference when it comes to Israel and the Jews in terms of how they report on Israel or the Holocaust or other issues like this. There's no difference between the media of Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. They all call for genocide against the Jewish people. The only difference is that temporarily they want to use Israel against Iran because they're afraid of Iran, and Israel is the one country in the Middle East that they feel is strong enough to take on Iran. So temporarily they want to use Israel for that purpose, but that should not fool us for 1 minute about their true intentions. And the naming of this restaurant, Hitler, big restaurant in the middle of Saudi Arabia called Hitler, this is another example of the vicious Jew hatred. And again, the fact that the media covers up for them, and I couldn't even find an article in English. This is in the Hebrew media. You have articles about it. But I couldn't even find an article in English about it. This is incredible how they have control over the American media, how the Persian Gulf money has bought up the American media and controls the American media. For instance, the second biggest investor in Fox News is Prince Al-Walid of Saudi Arabia, a known supporter of Islamic terrorism and mass murder. And he's the second biggest investor in Fox News, in the Fox News parent company, News Corp. And he has called up, by the way, Fox News to complain. If they say things about Muslims and Muslim terrorism that he doesn't like, he has called up to complain about it. So they make sure not to say Muslim terrorists. They say terrorists. They try not to say Muslim terrorists. And you'll notice in the reporting on Muslim terrorism now, you'll see stories about the massacres in Paris and other cities and how the Muslim terrorists slaughter sometimes hundreds of people. And the report on it, they'll do a report on it on ABC, NBC, CBS, ABC, on CNN, MSNBC, and sometimes even on Fox, they'll do reports on it. And Muslim and Islam will never even come into the story, even though the attack was carried out by Islamic terrorists to murder non-Muslim infidels. And yet the word Muslim and the Islamic motivations behind the attack are never even mentioned in the reports. It never even comes up. They'll do a whole report. They'll spend, out of a 30-minute news broadcast, they'll spend 15 minutes, the first half hour of the news, reporting on the attack in Paris or in London or other places where Muslim terrorists have attacked recently. And you won't hear the word Muslim or Islamic. It won't be mentioned anywhere in the report. They'll do everything they can to cover that up. This is the time period we're living in. And so you don't get the truth. You're not getting the truth, not from the media, not from the Israeli government, not from the U.S. government, not from any Western government. No one is telling us the truth. Donald Trump is selling and delivering far more arms and far more sophisticated technology to Saudi Arabia than Obama or Bush or any other president ever did. He has drastically increased U.S. arms shipments to Saudi Arabia and other Persian Gulf countries. And that is a danger to Israel, because those weapons will eventually be used against Israel, God forbid. But Trump and Netanyahu tell us, oh, Saudi Arabia, they're pro-Israel now. Pro-Israel. Because they want Israel to attack Iran. But in their own media, they're saying, we want Israel destroyed, we want Iran, we want the Iranian regime to be overthrown. They don't want Iran to be destroyed. They don't call for genocide because the Iranians are Muslims. They don't call for genocide against the Iranian people. Against the Jews in Israel, they call for genocide. And that you don't see anywhere in the media. And that none of the leaders tell you. None of them tell you about that. Trump, Netanyahu, the media, all of them are lying. All of them are lying to you about what the real situation is in Saudi Arabia and in the Arab Sunni world. They will never accept, the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, I don't care how many phony treaties they sign. Mohammed also signed treaties. Mohammed, the founder of Islam, signed treaties with the tribe Quraysh. He signed treaties and he broke the treaties and bragged about it in the Quran and said, this is what you're supposed to do with the non-Muslim infidels. You sign treaties and you lie. You sign and you swear to keep peace with them and then you stab them in the back and attack them, which is what Mohammed did in the Quran with the tribe Quraysh. The Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, the entire Muslim world will never accept the existence of a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Arab world. Israel is a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Arab world, in the middle of the Muslim world. And the Muslim world and the Arab world will never accept the existence, first of all, of a non-Muslim state in the middle of the Muslim world. They won't accept, and certainly not a Jewish state, because they hate the Jews. I mean, they hate the Jews fanatically. They hate all non-Muslim infidels, but they really hate the Jews fanatically. And the fact that Israel has humiliated the whole Arab world, because the whole Arab world went to war against Israel in 1948 and 1967, efforts were made to destroy the Jewish state. They outnumbered the Jews 100-1, and the Jews beat the living daylights out of them. In 6 days in 1967, Israel beat the whole Muslim world, the armies of the whole Muslim world, outnumbered 100-1. 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, and 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight, the prophets teach us in the Bible, in the Tanakh. And all of that came true in 1948, in 1967. You think the Muslims are going to forget and forgive that the Jews defeated them? The goal of the Jews, the chutzpah of the Jews to survive when the Muslims decided they want to exterminate them. The fact that the Jews survived, the fact that the Jews defeated them and survived, this is a great humiliation. It's considered to be a great humiliation in the Arab world, in the Muslim world. They will never accept the existence of a Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. Never. They don't accept the existence of America. If you really read and study what they really stand for, not the lies that are being told to you, but if you look at what they really say in their own media and what they really teach in their own school systems, where they praise Arab terrorism and praise jihadism, if you look and study what they teach, what they say, what they preach to their people day and night, they don't accept the existence of America. They call for the destruction of America. They don't accept the existence of infidel countries in Europe or in other parts of the world. They don't accept the existence of any infidel countries, because Muhammad said that the Muslims must conquer the world. There's Dar al-Islam, which are the areas of the world under the control of Islam, and Dar al-Kharb. Kharb means war, the sword, war. He said that countries that are not under Islamic control are the abode of war, that we must make war until we conquer those countries. That's what the Quran openly commands. It's in the Quran, and it's part of Islamic teaching. And they will never accept, if they won't accept the existence of America and the existence of Europe and of countries in Europe and of other infidel countries, so-called infidel countries outside the Muslim world, if they won't accept the existence of any of them, you think they're going to accept the existence of a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world that already humiliated them in war after war? Are you kidding me? We just wanted you to know this because we wanted you to know that most of what they tell you in the media, and that includes the so-called conservative media, which is not really conservative, Fox and the other media, they're not real conservatives. Most of what they tell you is a lie. The things you think you're hearing and seeing and learning about in the media are lies. You are being fed lies. Day and night, you are being fed lies. And your heroes, Netanyahu and Trump and the others on the phony right, are lying to you just like the left is. They're all lying to you. They are all liars. That's why JTF is so important. If we weren't telling you this, who would be? Who else is going to tell you this? Who else is going to bring the truth to you? Where else are you going to get this? And Israel is under mortal threat of extermination from these hateful Jew killers. And we have leaders in Israel that are leading Israel to the slaughter like sheep to the slaughter. Just like during the Holocaust. The Jews in Israel being set up for another Holocaust. God forbid. That's why JTF is so important. It's important that we bring this truth to the Jews of Israel, and it's important that we bring this truth to the world as much as possible, as much as we're capable of doing. Our capabilities are very limited by our budget. But as much as we can, we've got to try to bring the truth out. And at least there's somebody out there with, there's at least a voice of truth that tells you things that no one else will tell you. The second story that we want to bring up is the issue of the 2020 presidential election. Now, I was very critical of Trump in this first story because of the fact that he's so in love with Saudi Arabia and with the Persian Gulf countries. He's in love with anybody who will give him money for Trump Towers. And, you know, the Saudi diplomats, they stay at Trump Towers. They pay him off. Unfortunately, this is the type of thing we're dealing with. We have corruption in both parties, and the whole thing is dirty from point go. But anyway, as bad as that is, and Trump is bad, but as bad as he is, the Democrats are much worse. Much worse. Now, we're going to find out just how bad Trump is shortly after the Israeli Knesset elections. The Israeli Knesset elections are due to be held on September 17th, Tuesday, September 17th. And shortly after that, Trump has said that he's going to be releasing his so-called plan of the century for peace in the Middle East. We're going to see what it entails. It's possible that it could be so disastrous and so terrible that we will have to oppose Trump's re-election. That's possible. But right now, until we've seen that, right now, as of this moment, Trump is definitely the lesser of the evils, and the Democrats are much worse, and we will have to support. As of now, we are supporting Trump's re-election, as of now, unless he does something in his so-called peace plan for the Middle East that forces us to change. Right now, though, he is definitely a lesser of the evils against the anti-Semitic, horrific Democrats who want to destroy Israel. Who are literally committed to the destruction of Israel. I mean, their party is so anti-Semitic, so seething with hatred against the Jewish people. Now, as I said in the beginning of the program, we're going out on a limb on this program. And, you know, when you go out on a limb, sometimes it doesn't look very good later on if we're proven wrong. You never know, because we're not prophets. So you never know. We're just making an estimate of what will happen based upon our evaluation of what the facts are at the present time in the race for the Democrat presidential nomination next year. I have seen almost no one say point blank, I predict that this one is going to be the nominee or that one. They're not making predictions because this is so unpredictable, and things can change so quickly. We saw certainly in 2016. How many people thought that Trump was going to be president 4 years earlier, for instance? Now, we've done this before. We've made predictions in the past. For instance, in 2004, even before Obama was a senator, in 2004, 4 years before he ran for president, in 2004, before he was even elected to the Senate, when he was just a candidate for the Senate, I said that I believed he would eventually be elected president. I said that they're going to set him up, the media and everybody else, they're going to make him the new hero, and then they're going to elect him to the presidency. I predicted that in 2004, and a video to that effect, not in the greatest quality, but a video to that effect is on YouTube. So we've made predictions before. The vast majority of our predictions have come true. The vast majority. I just want to say as an aside, you know, there's a Hut party with Moshe Feiglin in Israel. Three senior members, to talk about predictions, three senior members of his party whom we warned him to get rid of. We warned him, throw them out of the party when they rebelled against him earlier this year. Instead, he brought them back in and he tried to appease them. Now they stabbed him in the back and they've endorsed the members of another party, the Yamina party. And we warned him, you know, if Feiglin and the Zehut party had done what we urged him to do, he would have been in the Knesset. If he had run as a true right-winger in the February Knesset elections in Israel, he would have been in the Knesset. He would have had four seats. He would have been able to be a big influence. Instead, he didn't do that. He muddied up his message and blurred his ideological positions and didn't run as a right-winger, and he didn't get in the Knesset. And now he's endorsing Netanyahu. He pulled out of the race for the second election that they're holding in September. They're holding another Knesset election. He pulled out of the race completely now and has endorsed Netanyahu. In exchange, Netanyahu has promised him to make him a minister in the next government. But we warned him. We warned him that he should run as a true right-winger. And after the election, he acknowledged that that was his mistake, because the data showed that that was his mistake. The election data showed that's why he lost. We were right. We were right. And all the people in his party that thought, no, what are you talking about? You got to widen your base and you shouldn't be narrow ideologically. They were all wrong. We were right. They were wrong. Period. And it's important to say that because the predictions we make in the future will have more credibility now, because we were proven right. And we also, again, we also told him, in addition to that, not just to run as a right winger, after the election was over, after Zehut lost in the elections which were actually held in April of this year, the first elections for the Knesset, after that, we told him, when there was a rebellion in his party, we told him, get rid of those rebels, throw them out of the party. People, they're not loyal to you, they're stabbing you in the back, throw them out of the party. No, no, no. He brought them back in. He tried to appease them. He caved in completely to all of their demands. And what happened? They stabbed him in the back anyway. They all ran to the Yamina party. They all left his party and stabbed him in the back anyway. Just as we warned would happen. It's sad. It's disappointing and it's sad. If you don't, you can't even see straight. If you don't have the proper ideological principles. Now, we're making a prediction again. We're predicting that in next year's presidential election, we're going to move back to the United States. Now, our prediction is the United States. In the United States presidential election, we're predicting that Elizabeth Warren will be the Democrat nominee. Now, I know, before you tell me, that all the polls show Joe Biden is leading in the polls. He's number one in every single poll. Even a poll that was just taken in Massachusetts, which is Elizabeth Warren's home state, it shows Biden leading by 2 points. He's 2 points ahead of her, even in her home state of Massachusetts in the latest poll. That's how big his lead is everywhere. So there's no question, Biden is leading in every poll. I'm aware of that. And Biden has the support of most of the establishment Democrats. I'm aware of that. And Biden is certainly the best-known candidate, having been Barack Hussein Obama's vice president for 7 years. I mean, for 8 years. I'm aware of that. I'm also aware of the fact that in most polls, Warren is not even in second place. Elizabeth Warren is in third place. In most polls, Joe Biden is in first place, Bernie Sanders is in second place, and Elizabeth Warren is in third place in most polls. Although in some polls, she's moved up to second place. Despite that, we're going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that Warren is going to be the Democrat nominee. Why? Because Biden is a gaffe machine. He's making so many mistakes on the campaign trail, and he's so confused and says so many things that are so irrational that I think in the end that's going to catch up with him. I don't think he's going to get the nomination, despite the fact that he starts out with this big lead and this big advantage. I think he's going to lose in the end because he comes across as old and confused and befuddled and doesn't know what he's doing and just making gaffes all the time. This is how he comes across. This is how he presents himself as a candidate. And I think that that's going to hurt him. So I'm going to take a chance and say that we in JTF predict that Elizabeth Warren will be the Democrat nominee. By the way, even if it's not Biden, there are other candidates who are very strong, who've raised more money. I still think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren. Why? She has the strongest get-out-the-vote operation in the first two states, Iowa and New Hampshire. And you get a lot of momentum if you win in Iowa and then you win in New Hampshire. That gives you tremendous momentum in the early states. It gives you momentum for the rest of the states. People think you're a winner, and then in the other states, they want to vote for you and they climb on the bandwagon. That's the psychology of these primaries and caucuses. And in Iowa and in New Hampshire, she has the strongest organization, the strongest get-out-the-vote operation. Now, it's true that having the strongest organization doesn't guarantee victory. It doesn't. Bernie Sanders had a stronger organization on the ground than Hillary Clinton, and still she won the nomination. She beat him in 2016. In Iowa, for instance, Sanders had a stronger operation than Clinton, and yet Clinton narrowly beat him in the Iowa caucuses. It doesn't guarantee you're going to win if you have the strongest organization, but it could be a good indicator, and it's very helpful to have a strong organization. And she has the best organization on the ground in Iowa and in New Hampshire, and she's building a strong organization, a strong grassroots rank-and-file organization in the other states as well, in the other primary and caucus states as well. And in New Hampshire, they had a meeting of 1,280 of the state committee members, the leaders of the party that are elected by members of the party in New Hampshire. And these are the people that get out and vote and that get people out to vote and that, you know, lead the clubhouses and so on. And they're elected by their fellow Democrats to be representatives of the New Hampshire State Democrat Committee. And they had a convention and they invited all the candidates over. Elizabeth Warren, by far, got the most enthusiastic reception there, and by far had the most support there. So again, I know it's unpredictable. I know a lot of things can happen between now and election day. That's been between now and the primaries and caucuses. All of that is true. And people say it's foolish to predict in advance. I understand that. I know that's what everybody says. And I think they're probably right. But we're going to take a chance. I have a feeling that it's going to be Elizabeth Warren, just as I had a feeling it was going to be Barack Hussein Obama. I have a feeling it's going to be Elizabeth Warren. We'll see if I'm right. Let me also, by the way, say that, just in case anybody forgot, that Elizabeth Warren is absolutely terrible for Israel, a catastrophe on Israel. She will work to pressure Israel just as Obama did and just as Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, all the Democrat presidents since the Yom Kippur War. Every Democrat president has worked relentlessly and obsessively to pressure Israel to commit suicide. That's one of the big missions of these Democrat presidents. Now, you've had Republican presidents like George H.W. Bush, George Bush Sr., that also did that, that also pressured Israel to commit suicide. Henry Kissinger, Yimach Shmo, who was the Secretary of State under Nixon and under Ford, they pressured Israel. He certainly used his position to pressure Israel. So Nixon and Gerald Ford and George H.W. Bush, they were terrible on Israel. But you've had other periods where Republican presidents basically ignored the Middle East and ignored Israel during much of Reagan's presidency, during much of George W. Bush's presidency. They didn't really press Israel. They didn't really push the issue, even though they were not pro-Israel. but they didn't really pressure Israel and they weren't obsessively committed to getting Israel to commit suicide. That's better than having a president who's obsessively committed to destroying Israel. Trump, by the way, has not really been obsessively pushing this thing with Israel. He hasn't really been pushing it at all during the more than 2.5 years he's been president so far. Now, again, we're going to see what happens later this month when they release his plan. If he starts pressuring Israel and he starts pushing a suicide plan and really pushing it hard, we're going to oppose him. We're not going to support him. We're going to withdraw our support for him. But if he doesn't do that, and if his plan is a no-start plan from the, and just the plan that the Arabs immediately reject, and he basically just throws his hands up and says, okay, that's it, fine. If that's what happens, then he certainly will be a lesser of the evils, and we certainly should do what we can to reelect him, because that means he's better on Israel than the Democrats. Because Elizabeth Warren, she will be exactly like Jimmy Carter, the anti-Semite, Bill Clinton, who did everything he could to back Arafat and to get Israel to give up Jerusalem and all of the, and everything. Go back to the pre-1967 borders. Bill Clinton did everything he could obsessively to get Israel to commit suicide. And of course, Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim anti-Semite. And on the issue of Iran, by the way, the Democrats are certainly worse. They immediately want to start giving Iran hundreds of billions of dollars in benefits and building up Iran's economy and enabling Iran to become a much greater nuclear threat. So the Democrats, Trump is not good on Iran. He's not destroying Iran's nuclear capability militarily, which is what Ted Cruz was going to do. Ted Cruz was the best candidate on Iran, was the best candidate on Israel. Trump is far and away much worse than that. He's not doing what he should be doing on Iran. But what Elizabeth Warren and all these Democrats want to do on Iran would be worse, would be even worse. So she is terrible for Iran. If it is a race, as we predict, between Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren, and again, we're making this prediction before a single vote was cast, and while she's still in third place in the polls. So this is really a risky prediction. I mean, she's in third place in the polls, and there are a lot of debates ahead, and all types of things can happen, and not a single vote has been cast in any of the primaries, and we're 6 months away from any of the votes even being cast in the very first caucuses in Iowa. And we're already making a prediction. That's a risky move we're making, but still, we're going to do it. We will go with this prediction. Whether it's her or any of the other Democrats running, they are absolutely a danger to Israel's very existence, and they have to be opposed. And JTF can play an important role in that, because if the election is close, if the election is not close, then JTF, there's not much JTF can do. But if it's really a close election, because JTF has the ability to persuade a certain number of Jewish voters to vote to re-elect Trump, and because JTF has the ability to persuade, because we do videos not just directed toward Jewish voters, we do videos directed toward the whole American people, and because we have the ability to persuade people to support Trump, because we are never Trumpers who are now saying, look, the Democrats are so bad, we've got to support Trump. That can be pretty persuasive for people that are sitting on the fence, or for people that just don't like either side, which is millions of Americans. Because of that unique situation that JTF is in, we can influence things if the election is close. If it's very close and it's just, you know, tens of thousands of votes, let's say, that separate them in Pennsylvania and Michigan and in other swing states. You have the swing states in the Midwest, like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Those are the states that are going to decide this election. And Florida, of course, in the South. If JTF can persuade enough Jewish and non-Jewish voters to move over to Trump, we can make a difference. We can actually make a difference if the election is close enough. So we're going to do what we can to try to influence things, but we just wanted, for the record, we wanted you to know whom we are predicting will be the Democrat nominee in 2020, and we are predicting it's Elizabeth Warren. Of course, the videos that we do, that the message you hear us give on Israel, the message we give on Israel is a message we also produce for, in videos in Hebrew to reach the people of Israel. And in the past 6 months, as we've said many times, we've had over 1 million views on our videos. In a country, Israel's a country with 6 million Jews, over 1 million views in a country of 6 million. That's a substantial number of people have seen our message. And so we want to reach the Jews of Israel. We want to make a difference in reaching them. And we want to wake them up. The campaign we did on behalf of Feiglin was certainly important, not because, well, we don't support Feiglin now, but not because of supporting Feiglin per se, but because in every video we did for Feiglin, the video, it was just like one sentence that we support Feiglin and the Zehut Party. The rest of the video was about the issues, about the need to get the Arabs to leave in exchange for compensation from the land of Israel, about the need to expel the illegal aliens from the land of Israel, about how there's no Palestine, there are no Palestinian people. I mean, we did videos on all these subjects that got hundreds of thousands of views. And that's very important. And that's a message we have to continue to bring to the people of Israel, to wake them up before it's too late. So you're in the right place if you want to support a group that tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, despite the fact that sometimes the truth is unpopular, then you're in the right place. If you want to go with the popular bandwagon people who are telling you whatever you want to hear, you're not in the right place. JTF doesn't do that. But if you want to hear the truth, even when it's sometimes very unpopular, but you want to hear the truth, and you want to be with an organization that has a history of being effective in a lot of things that we did in the Soviet Jewry movement, we certainly were very effective. When we played in the Jewish Defense, when we were running the Jewish Defense League and played the key role in the campaign to free Soviet Jews, if you want to be part of that, and you want people to wake up before it's too late, then you certainly are part of a movement that can change history if we work together as a team. We can make this a better world if we work together as a team. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.